welcome to the Dr. Nyman Show. Today is Friday, October 7th, 2016. In Zika, there's some new information with the sequences that Dr. Nyman would like to go over. So we welcome Dr. Nyman back to the program.
Okay, Ryan, it's good to be back. I think it's a good time to go over the sequences. There's been a couple of developments this week. One has to do with a consortium that released 33 Zika sequences. These sequences were from Brazil. I think they were all in Costa Rio de Janeiro, in Honduras, and Tegucigalpa, and Dominican Republic from Santo Domingo, as well as many of the Florida sequences that have been discussed previously. In addition to these 33 sequences that were released, they're not quite a gene bank yet, but there was one great big file that had all 33 sequences in them that allowed some investigation and analysis. In addition to that, if you recall, there were five sequences that had been placed on deposit at Gene Bank by the Anderson Lab at Scripps Clinic in La Jolla, California. They just updated those sequences, or at least four out of five sequences were updated at Gene Bank, so there's a slightly different version of those sequences. And in addition, the lab at Scripps took the sequences that they had on their website, and they released them at Gene Bank, and those just came out. They were publicly accessible this morning. And so what we got is quite a few sequences at Gene Bank now from the lab in San Diego, La Jolla, and then you have another series of sequences that were released by this consortium. The sequences out of Florida were done by the Broad Institute at Harvard and MIT, and they were essentially from the same patients as the sequences released by Scripps Clinic. So I thought, the question is, how useful are these sequences in determining exactly what is going on in Florida? Because as you know, we've been talking about for weeks now, there's a local transmission. The number of cases is increasing fairly dramatically. It's a little bit unclear as to the free testing of pregnant women in Florida, how much of a contribution that is making. There's been a dramatic increase in the number of pregnant cases that have been announced in Florida, and there's been a dramatic increase in the number of all local cases. Theoretically, travel. So on the one hand, it looks like possibly there's just a lot more testing going on now, and potentially people are from other countries are going to Florida to be tested because they're pregnant and the testing is free. And that might be increasing the number of travel-related cases. And at the same time, there's a number of local cases who are pregnant and getting tested, and that's increasing the number of local cases. And this may just be the tip of the iceberg because the free testing was not announced that long ago, and especially in the case of pregnancy, if the women are not pregnant, they are pregnant, if the women are not symptomatic, then they're likely to test negative on the PCR test and require the antibody test, which especially confirmation by the CDC can have significant delays. And I think there are also some issues with the number of tests available. So the cases that have been announced this week and last week may just be the tip of the iceberg as far as the number of pregnant cases in Florida, either travel or local. and those numbers may increase fairly dramatically in the upcoming weeks. But the question that the sequence is addressed, at least at the beginning, there'll be more questions to be answered as more sequences are accumulated. It really has to do with how long has Zika been in Florida? And this has fairly significant implications. If the virus really has been in Florida for quite some time prior to the announcement, so if it's been in Florida since early 2016 or even the spring of 2016, then it's possible that a lot of women did get infected with Zika before there was any known local transmission. So these would be women who had not traveled, could get infected, and didn't realize it was an issue when they had symptoms, some of which may in fact not have had symptoms. And there may be a number of pregnant women who were infected in their first trimester who have not yet delivered babies. And there may be another set of women that were infected in the second and third trimester who have delivered babies, but they weren't really being tested for Zika because there was no local transmission. So to answer that question, the sequences are used, and to go through these sequences a little bit, I think just a review of the history of these releases would be useful. It was about 10 days ago, it was maybe 2 weeks ago, the Scripps released five sequences of GMAC, and these five sequences included two human sequences as well as three sequences from the first three batches of mosquitoes that were Zika positive. The general location of those mosquitoes was known. They were all from traps that were collected on Miami Beach or in Miami Beach generally in August or early September. And the two human sequences were interesting. One was collected in August and seemed likely to be a collection from Miami Beach, whereas the other sample was designated as a travel sequence, a travel case. But the characterization sheet of that particular sequence noted that the patient developed symptoms, or the sample was collected 21 days after the patient returned from Cuba, and subsequent data from the website indicated that this traveler developed symptoms 12 days after he returned to Florida. And 12-day incubation period is exceedingly long for Zika, and that raised the distinct possibility that this person had gone to Cuba but had actually been infected after he returned and was infected in Florida. This speculation really was fully supported by the sequence. The sequence of this case, the case from Cuba, was very closely related to the case from local transmission in Florida, probably by Miami Beach. So the similarity between those two sequences further suggested that the traveler from Cuba didn't get infected in Cuba, where the Zika was fairly well under control, but instead got infection when he came back to Florida. And so that sequence is actually really a Florida sequence. Those initial sequences kind of fell into two groups. They were all the same in that they represented a subclade that wasn't widely represented in the Zika database. There in fact, were two sequences that were public that were in that same clade. One was from an Italian visitor to the Dominican Republic who got infected in the Dominican Republic. The other was an English visitor to Guadalupe. And so the two sequences in the database that were the same subplane were both in the Caribbean, but that was relatively rare. There were literally over 100 sequences that had been generated, four sequences that had been generated. And, you know, most of the sequences were not the subplane. They were very, very rare. And it was striking that all five of the sequences that were made public were all of the same subplane. And so that raised the question as to whether there were multiple introductions into Florida from various visitors in the Caribbean, or at least who, you know, were infected with the subplane, or if there was one introduction that really gave rise to these different versions. And if there was only one, it was suggested the virus has been in Florida for a little while. Now, at the time, I thought that the sample size was kind of low, and, you know, this could have just been a coincidence that a couple of cases had, resulted in local transmission, and that was reflected by these essentially two different versions of the virus. But then it turned out the Scripps Clinic had put up a number of sequences at their website, and that significantly increased the number of sequences from Florida. They had two sequences from the fourth and the fifth mosquito collections batches that were Zika positive, and then they had another series of human sequences. And I had expected these sequences to reflect some of the diversity that was seen in the sequences from the Americas, assuming that the local cases in Florida were due to multiple introductions by multiple travelers, and therefore the sequences in Florida would be relatively diverse. And therefore, I was surprised when all of the sequences were from the same subclade as the first five. There was limited information available on these sequences, but it was known which five were from the mosquitoes. And the locations of the mosquito traps was subsequently released after the Miami Herald basically went to court to get the locations of the Zika-positive mosquitoes made public. And it turns out all of those traps were in South Miami Beach, which was the one of the areas that was cited by the CDC that pregnant women should not travel to. And it turned out that those sequences fell into two groups. The first two collections were in one group, which was closely related to most of the human cases. And then the three most recent sequences really fell into another group that was represented by one of the human cases. And then the Anderson Lab actually released more metadata on their website, which had to do with where the samples were collected. And the one that was most striking was one of the more recent collections, which was from August 17th. And it was ZF-39, and that one was from Pinellas County. The Pinellas County sample was of significant interest because, if you recall, there's only been one case in Pinellas County. That case was a fireman that lived in St. Petersburg in Pinellas County, but worked in Tampa Bay in Hillsborough County. And media reports, anyway, indicated that this person did obviously travel between those two counties, but had not traveled outside of those two counties in the week prior to developing symptoms. And that's notable because those two counties are about 200 miles northwest of Miami, so there was a considerable distance there. And even though Pinellas County was quite a ways away from Miami, the sequence of ZF-39 was the same subplate as the various mosquito and human sequences from Miami, which again raised the concern that this might have been a single introduction, and that introduction really spread, and it wasn't limited to Miami-Dade. It gone to some of these other counties that reported local transmission, including Broward and Palm Beach County, as well as Pinellas County. And so the sequences that were released this week by this consortium provided some additional information, because in addition to confirming the sequences from Scripps, the sequences that were generated by the Broad Institute out of Harvard and MIT basically were the same as the sequences generated at Scripps Clinic, and so that gave more confidence that those were actually, that those were correct sequences. And actually, the updated sequences out of Scripps were even closer to the sequences out of Harvard. So there was very little difference between the final version of both labs. And what was new to the analysis was several sequences that were from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, because those sequences, in fact, were that same subplate. But in contrast to the sequences that were already published, which really came from one person, one was the correct sequence from that traveler, and the other was the sequence of the virus that was isolated by growing it in the lab in a cell line. Those two sequences were virtually identical to each other, and they were in the subclay, but as I mentioned, they only came from one person. But these additional sequences from Dominican Republic showed that this particular subclay was present in a number of different cases in the Dominican Republic, and the sequences, even though all of these sequences apparently were from one location, Santo Domingo, showed a fair amount of diversity, and they essentially covered the three different groups that were found in Florida. And so that raised the possibility that instead of there being a single introduction that would have happened probably in 2015, there may really have been two or three introductions that were from a place like the Dominican Republic, or conceivably other countries in the Caribbean. There, in fact, were some partial sequences from French Guiana, and those partial sequences, which were generally limited to the envelope gene, they also fell into that same subclade. So that same subclade was present in French Guiana, as well as Dominican Republic, as well as Guadeloupe. And therefore, it's conceivable that the sequences in Florida really resulted from three independent introductions. If that was the case, then the sequences, the appearance of Zika could have been sometime in 2016. And the differences between the three different groups didn't happen in Florida. It didn't happen after, a single introduction of Florida, but really had already happened in these other countries. And therefore, the version that showed up in Florida may have been, the difference between the various versions may have happened in these other countries. So the virus might have started out in 2015, but then evolved into three different versions while it was in the Caribbean or even South America. And then it was introduced into Florida fairly recently, and they're all of the same subclade because that subclade isn't quite that rare, especially if a lot of the introductions came from the Dominican Republic. Florida really hasn't given a detailed record on where the travelers had been prior to coming to Florida. A more complete record actually is from New York. And in New York, the vast majority of the cases, or at least a majority of the cases, did come from the Dominican Republic. Of course, there aren't any sequences from New York to know how that compares to Florida, but it does raise the possibility that a significant number of the travelers that came to Florida may have been from the Dominican Republic, and therefore that would support potentially three different introductions. So the numbers are still too low to come to an absolute conclusion, but the diversity seen in the Dominican Republic that parallels the diversity seen in Florida leaves open the possibility that Florida was infected this year, not last year, and evolved multiple introductions, although they happen to be this subclade that is clearly fairly widespread in the Dominican Republic. The explosion in cases should allow that to be addressed by generating sequences from these more recent cases. Most of the sequences that have been released so far really came from July or early August. So what the more recent cases look like relative to those earlier cases is still somewhat unclear. And the explosion in cases should allow the labs at both Scripps as well as the Broad Institute in Massachusetts to develop a significantly larger data set of the local cases in Florida and give a better idea whether they arrived in 2016 or 2015. Now, the case from Cuba, assuming that person really was infected in Florida, which is likely, was collected on June 22nd. So that would be some direct evidence that the virus was transmitting in Florida in June, and that was well in advance of the announcement at the end of July that there actually the middle of July was the first hint that there was local transmission in Florida. And so there still is a possibility that there could be a number of people, women that were infected well in advance of the announcement of local transmission in Florida. And actually, it could be from mosquitoes or it could be from partners that were infected by the mosquitoes in Florida. So there still is a concern that the virus has been in Florida for some time. There still is a concern that the virus is far more widespread than indicated by the testing, that concern is heightened by the limited number of testing of these active investigations. That there seem to be quite a few cases in Miami-Dade, many of which have actually already been closed and the tables that are presented in the active investigation section of the website of the Florida Department of Health indicates that very, very few samples were collected in these cases that were not in Midland and not in Miami Beach. So it's still likely that there are many other locations of active transmission in Florida, Miami-Dade in particular, but possibly Palm Beach, where the number of cases, I think, is up to 5 or 6, and plus whatever's going on in Pinellas County. So there could be quite a few other areas of active transmission, which may very well have led to far more pregnancies that involved Zika infections that have not really been disclosed. So it would be useful to continue testing pregnant women. This week, Texas announced that it is going to be testing pregnant women in Texas, particularly on the southern border, because that area has a history of having dengue transmission, and dengue is transmitted by the same Aedes aegypti species that Zika is transmitted by. And so they just announced that they're going to be stepping up testing not so much of asymptomatic women, but women that have a couple of the symptoms that are associated with Zika, even if they have no travel history. So that would help resolve how many local cases are in Texas, as well as there should be some more indication as to what's going on in Florida, especially if they would release more information about the local cases. Right now, pregnant local cases are not announced. That's the first case that was announced in Miami-Dade, or she was in Miami, actually, was not officially acknowledged as being pregnant, although several media reports have now indicated that, in fact, that initial case was pregnant. So that pregnant case is not being reported as a pregnant case. The pregnant cases that are being reported are travel related. So local pregnant cases are just being reported as local cases, and it's a bit unclear as to both how many of the pregnant cases, how many of the local cases are pregnant, and where those local cases are, regardless of pregnancy status. And so the withholding of that information does make the analysis of clusters and active transmission quite a bit more opaque, as does the rather limited testing of these these cases that would be linked to the active investigation phase. So that pretty much wraps it up. There have been quite a few sequences that have been released. The ones that are of most interest have been the sequences from Florida, as well as the sequences from the Dominican Republic. This subclade is of interest, and begs the question as to whether they're all from the same subclade, because the virus really did show up in Florida quite some time ago, possibly as early as 2015, or if a very high percentage of the local cases came from the Caribbean in general and Dominican Republic in particular. And we look forward to seeing these additional sequences from the additional cases, as well as the there have now been two more batches of mosquitoes that have been announced. So the 6th and the 7th batch of mosquitoes, as well as the explosion of local cases that have been announced in the last 2 weeks. Those sequences will be very useful. That wraps it up.
Okay, well, thank you for the information, Dr. Nyman. Listeners can visit our website at recombinomics.co for all the latest news and information, and everyone have a good day.